1320 AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. Airport issues are bad again today with more delays and cancellations. CBS's Chris Van Cleve is in Phoenix.
What you're seeing a lot is kind of what happened to me, where I got to the airport, the flight attendants got to the airport, then hours later the plane got there, and then a couple of hours later the pilots got there. Things are just kind of out of sync right now as day after day after day of weather disruption has really created a travel mess. The airlines are trying to reset today, and they better do it because starting tomorrow, travel volumes are expected to ramp way up for the 4th of July holiday weekend.
Smoke is also a problem from Canada's wildfires. Ann Elliott says she's struggling to breathe in Milwaukee.
I have asthma, and I was worried that, you know, it would affect my lungs, and it did a little bit when I was coughing.
And there's more brutal heat.
It just seems like it's getting hotter and hotter.
Mentally, it's exhausting. Physically, you wonder when you're going to have this heat stroke.
Cooling centers have been opened in many areas. Tens of thousands are suffering through the heat without air conditioning as widespread power outages continue after severe storms in recent days. Jim Crisula, CBS News.
Out in California, hundreds of animals are now washing up on beaches, dead or sick from toxic algae blooms. John Warner runs the Marine Mammal Care Center in L.A.
Sea lions are washing up at Santa Monica Pier, Hermosa Beach, Manhattan Beach, and they're seizing, foaming at the mouth, or completely unresponsive and is frightening.
The algae is also deadly to humans. The White House says President Biden is struggling with sleep apnea and now uses a CPAP machine to help him breathe at night. Sleep apnea can be deadly and cause serious complications, including stroke. But Mr. Biden seems okay for now. He's in Chicago talking about his economic plans.
It's the latest rebranding of the president's economic policies.
I said I didn't name it Bidenomics. I didn't realize The Economist and The Wall Street Journal did.
The phrase has been adopted by the White House and described by Biden aides as the antithesis of Reaganomics.
This vision is a fundamental break from the economic theory that has failed America's middle class for decades now.
Mr. Biden says he'll reject tax policies that favor the wealthy.
I'm tired of waiting for the trickle down. It doesn't come very quickly.
Stephen Portnoy, CBS News, Washington.
You know, kids that are bookworms tend to have better mental health? Here's CBS's Christian Benavides.
Researchers looked at 10,000 kids in the U.S. Those who begin reading for pleasure between 2 and 9 years old measure higher for verbal learning, memory, and other skills, and show fewer signs of depression and behavioral problems.
Kids who read also tend to spend less time on screens and get better sleep. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
Lowe's believes in giving back to the communities they serve. That's why they're partnering once again with HGTV to honor people making a positive impact in their communities with a second season of HGTV's Build It Forward. Inspired by the Lowe's Hometowns Community Impact Program, hosts Tanya Nyack and Shane Duffy are traveling the country to surprise deserving community members with life-changing home renovations. Watch Build It Forward, all new Saturdays at 6, 5 Central, part of Rescue Saturdays on HGTV.
You've never had anything like Kentucky Fried Chicken's new chicken nuggets. They're so good, you'll hear a random choir singing every time you open the box. Don't believe me? Just listen. Box open.
KFC Chicken Nuggets. KFC.
Box close. Open.
Original recipe and ready. KFC.
Close. Can we get a remix? Order KFC's new chicken nuggets on the KFC app today. That's finger looking good. Prices and participation may vary.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Walks, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation. The law firm of Gingras Thompson & Walks has a track record of making life-changing, positive differences for their clients. $5.25 million to a woman who suffered brain injuries and her husband passed away when struck by a drunk driver. $1 million to three different individuals injured by drunk drivers. $1 million settlement to a man injured in a motorcycle accident. Call Gingras Thompson & Walks, 855-954-1186.
954-1186. All in two wins, Gingras Thompson and Watts, GTWLawyers.com.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Melissa Kay. On Thursday, June 29th, the Adams County Building Committee will meet from 9 to 11 at the Adams County Courthouse in Boardroom A230. They'll hear updates from Bill Runnels on the Courthouse Veterans Memorial, among other agenda items. Residents in Adams County aren't sure what to do with their garbage. The county voted to stop picking up people's garbage, and residents aren't happy with the decision. WAOW reports it will take up to 4 months for the county to figure out a solution. The director of solid waste and recycling said they were relying on the tax levy to support operations, and that's not financially feasible long term. Businesses can use dumpsters at the facility, but that's not an option for everyone. Reminder that burning and burying garbage in the county is illegal. Mark your calendars for blood drives in Wisconsin Rapids for next month, Tuesday, July 18th from 10 to 3, and Monday, June 24th from 2 to 7 at the former East Junior High School in the Music Room. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Hi, I'm Mandy Roberts, financial advisor with Thrivent. I'm here to help you assess your finances and find solutions to meet your needs. Let's ensure you have a strategy for success. To get started, call 715-470-1303. That's 715-470-1303.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Chance for isolated storms tonight, otherwise overcast. Lows dip down to about 63, winds out of the southeast, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Chance for isolated storms again tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 84, cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun. Chance for scattered thunderstorms tomorrow night, lows dip down to about 61, mainly clear skies. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 83.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this June 28th, 2023. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. Thank you so much for joining us. At 3:30, we're going to be joined by Callie Johnson, ODC member. Looking forward to talking with Callie. Right now in studio, we have our good friend Lance Plimmel, Wood County Board Chairman. Good morning, Lance.
Good morning, James. Always great to be here.
Always good to see you, sir. Thanks for being here. And we want to say a big shout out to our friends, Taylor and the gang over at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Always good to see you, sir. Great to have you guys here. Thanks so much. Encourage you to go to YouTube, type into your search bar, Wisconsin Rapids Community Media, like their page, subscribe to it, keep up to date on all the great work that they're doing over there.
Yeah, they actually make us look better than we are.
Way better. Really way better. I look at those videos and I'm like, I'm just shocked. Right on, right. Lance, how have you been? What have you been up to?
I've been good. You know, every day's a challenge. Something new. Not always exciting, but always something new. You know, as we were talking and walked in the studio today, you know, we're dealing with smoke here. A lot of smoke. Yeah. And a lot of people with headaches and throat irritations and everything else. And I'm not somebody who's usually susceptible to whether it be allergies with pollen or smoke usually doesn't bother me. I've never been a smoker, but I never really minded smoke. Until recently.
Same here.
I made the comment to somebody yesterday. I said, it's unbelievable. He said, you can't see a half a mile down 8th Street.
Yeah.
And I was talking to somebody who's in Madison, and they said, it's not that bad down here. And they said, hold on, wait a minute. I can't see the end of the runway. They were driving down past the airport. So, you know, we're dealing with that and some of those issues as they come up. And then the everyday challenges. And we're getting into the holidays.
Yeah. So. Yeah. When it comes to those challenges you mentioned there, how do you fight air? How can you battle something like this? Is there anything that can be done, or is there things that you guys are working on or thinking, talking about?
No.
Right?
And that's a really good segue because, you know, James and I, there's no script. We come in here, we talk about whatever happens to come up or whatever direction general conversation leads us. But one of the things I was thinking of when I was in the car, I was sitting out here for a while in another Zoom meeting, was and it was in regard to smoke. And it was, you know, you can only control the controllable. And there's things we can't. We have no control over the fires up in Canada. No real way to deal with it other than those advisories, you know, stay in the house, stay out of it, do those kind of things. But I was thinking of this more along the lines of the holidays are coming up. And we have really dry conditions. You know, and a lot of people are out there with fireworks and other things that can cause fires, which then put our, you know, protective service people, our firefighters, and all those people in danger. You can cause problems for your own self, you know, in regard to use of those explosive devices. So, you know, be careful with what you're doing. Our parks are going to be full. We've had great attendance this year. They've been full. There's going to be a lot of traffic on the water. Obviously, there's boat patrols out there. There's people in our parks. But personal responsibility goes a long way. And this is a time of year where you really have to, you know, look at what you're doing, be somewhat introspective and say, hey, what can I do to not contribute to the problem? There's going to be a lot of traffic. tremendous amount because of the U.S. Senior Open in Stevens Point. There's been signs up for a month saying expect traffic delays. I've heard estimates as high as 50,000 people are going to be in the area. So I guess my charge to everybody would, you know, put your best foot forward, continue to show what was, you know, Central Wisconsin's kind of famous for, and that's hospitality.
Yeah.
And make sure, you know, you greet those people respectfully, that you understand that we are hosting a big event, which is a tremendous showcase for this area. And there are people everywhere. I was in Madison for a conference on Sunday, actually Sunday and Monday. And as I was getting on the elevator to leave the hotel, every elevator car was completely full of golfers. Now, not the pros, but people that had flown into the area to play, whether it be University Ridge on the way up as they flew into Madison, Sand Valley, and over to Century. So there's a lot going on. And so be careful. Use your head out there. And be congenial.
We certainly have the Water Ski Show tournament coming up next month. So it's a nice preview in, or a chance for our community to kind of get used to the treating people from out of town right and giving some grace and having some class and all of that. And speaking of that, having some class, this is a story that we talk about every year around this time, especially Sheriff Becker and I. Or anytime we have any of our Rapids Police Department on, when we're talking about fireworks. There are a couple things that I feel like we have to note sometimes. One of them, there is nothing in the Constitution or the Bill of Rights that says we have to have fireworks for the 4th of July. There's nothing in there about that. Fireworks are a privilege. They are not a birthright. They are not something that is an amendment for or anything. So to those out there, those knuckleheads that have to light off fireworks at 1 in the morning or 2 in the morning or something like that, knock it off. This is coming from just me. I'm just speaking for myself.
Right. Be respectful. This is what, you know, we talked about. I have that situation too. I mean, they're blowing them off on, you know, Sunday night at 1 in the morning. A lot of people work on Monday or Tuesday, or they're blowing them off right over the neighbor's house. You know, use your head. I mean, I'm not saying, maybe I shouldn't say you should. It's probably illegal. But, you know, the point is, be careful, be respectful of others.
We never know, and this is a good opportunity to get to know your neighbors a little bit. I'm not saying that you got to sit there and have, you know, 5 beers with them or something, but just coming, oh, you're a veteran? Do you have PTSD? I won't be lighting off fireworks around you. Understanding some of these things. These people gave us everything. The least we can do is one time a year not be lighting off fireworks if it bothers them, if it disturbs them. Finding out the dogs in your area and stuff. I'm not saying that you can't still celebrate the 4th. Just do it with some class. Do it with a little bit of grace. Be a true American. Because that's not an American to me. Treating your neighbors or treating our veterans horribly. That is one of the most un-American things I can think of when we're supposed to be celebrating America. That don't make any sense to me.
Yeah, you know, times and places. About a week ago, week and a half ago, was Flag Day. And I happened to attend a Flag Day celebration. And what I found somewhat troublesome. You know, I was going to say appalling, but somewhat troublesome as I attended those events. I had some people that were sitting near me say to me, I can't believe how long this is going. And as I looked to the side, I had members of the VFW and the American Legion. Some were elderly. Some had, you could see, they had been injured in battles and war to defend this country and to make it what it is. And I'm thinking, I got people sitting down watching something, saying they're troubled by the fact they're sitting there. I'm going, you weren't in a foxhole. Mm-hmm. You weren't participating in, there are some World War II veterans still, I don't think there were any necessarily at that event, but we certainly had, you know, Korean vets there. There were people that were in the jungles of Vietnam. And I go, and you're troubled by sitting here? Those guys, even at, and most of them were older than I am, and hate to say how old I am, but those gentlemen stood at attention for an hour. Well, I heard people complaining because they were sitting.
Yeah.
So, you know, the 4th of July is about a celebration of our country, but it also, it is morphed more from just the celebration of independence to a patriotic holiday.
Yes.
Where you have to think about those people who provided those opportunities for us. So, you know, I wanted to touch on it. You know, when you're out there celebrating the 4th of July, there's a meaning to this, as you said, other than, not anti-fireworks, probably go watch a lot of them.
Other than
fireworks and other than parades. And it's the opportunity to thank those people who provided those freedoms.
So
I'm really glad you touched on that. The other one I wanted to just segue into real quick, as you mentioned, we have in our area, you know, really right on the heels of the U.S. Open, Senior Open over there in Stevens Point, we have the state water ski tournament.
Yeah.
Largest water ski tournament in the world. And we're actually have a film crew coming in. The county's participating in a program called Uniquely Wisconsin. Hmm. It's done by the Discover Wisconsin group, which is Discover Media Works, Mark Rose's group.
Great people.
And they're coming in, and they're going to be filming that for a segment that they're going to do that the county's going to participate in. It's a big program where they feature generally businesses, not so much tourism. But I don't think people in this community or in this county realize how many volunteers it takes to put on an event of this magnitude and how many businesses not only benefit from, but participate in making that a great event. You know, whether it be people fabricating equipment, welding, the vendors who sell stuff that are used out there, the Parks Department and police, and all the volunteers from all those organizations around town that make this happen. To your point, participate, thank somebody, be gracious. You know, it often drives me nuts when I hear somebody say, yeah, there's people are in town and I have traffic or I had to wait in line. I'm going, you know what? The amenities we have are a result of those people coming to town, spending those dollars and making everything possible. So, again, your opportunity to be, you know, part of a great event with the water ski tournament. But also, like I said, when you get Discover Media Works and the people who produce Discover Wisconsin out with their film, because I think they're going to have about four people out there filming. I think it's going to be Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I'm not sure they're filming Sunday. But they're going to be in town. Let's put our best foot forward.
It's a great opportunity to sell our area, to showcase our area. It's also a wonderful opportunity to possibly bring in new people, maybe new community members, people that want to move to the area, and certainly businesses that want to be in this area. That's always noteworthy.
That's the whole point of this particular production. There's the Discover Wisconsin shows, obviously, which everybody, I think, is probably familiar with.
Great shows.
But this one features generally businesses. And it will be focused on that. But the water ski show is so integral to what we do here. And we wanted to really focus on not the show as much as all of the volunteers, all the people, the community as it comes together, and then all the businesses that support to make those kind of events successful. So it's going to have that bent to it. But again, another great event. And we're chock full of events. I mean, we just came out of, you know, Cranberry Blossom Festival. You had all the dairy breakfast. We're going right into these huge events, whether they're right within our town or not. You know, not only do you have the Union City Open, I think you have Riverfront Rendezvous this weekend over there. These are 15 minutes away. So when I hear people say there's not a lot to do, you haven't looked.
That's I believe that you are just sitting on the couch and not refusing to open up your browser or anything. It drives me crazy when I hear that.
Yeah, so take advantage of our parks. You know, like I said, we got great campgrounds. Occupancy in those are typically north of 50% of local residents. You know, so you got those opportunities. You've got the bike trails and some of the new opportunities up at Powers Bluff. Tremendous opportunity with the, it's not brand new, but it's relatively new. You know, the new boat launch parking ramps and everything up on the river. Fantastic opportunities to really enjoy the area.
Get out there. And when you're doing these things, whether you're getting a camp or, you know, anything, you're putting back in your community. These are dollars that help. They help fund our community, help keep our roads and our staffing, our units, and so many different things. I think that there's a real pride that comes from that. When you mention how many locals like to camp in local areas, I don't know that everybody has something like that. So we're pretty fortunate around here with that, too.
And that's where, you know, James, one of the things as we get to these holidays, you know, tend to be a little bit introspective, a little bit self-reflection, and, you know, and how did we get the opportunities we have? And I've actually taken the time recently to make some phone calls to people who were instrumental in giving me the opportunities that I've had. And I would probably recommend that to everybody. There's people in everybody's lives who've been instrumental, and there's not a better time probably than around the holidays to make a couple of those phone calls, to reconnect, and to thank those people. Because that's what makes life in this country so great. It was previous generations, and then the charge to those people that are my age and younger, especially younger now, is mentor somebody. You know, it amazes me when I look around and I see businesses having difficulty staffing people. I'm going, well, where did everybody go in 2 years? I mean, they're still here. And I look at these charitable organizations, fraternal organizations, community service organizations, having trouble recruiting members or people to participate. And I'm going, what happened generationally where, you know, it may be selfishness. You know, I mean, you know, I hear people all say, time say, I don't have time. Well, do you think your parents had time?
Yeah, right.
Do you think your grandparents, they probably had less time because they didn't have some of the conveniences we have today.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, a little bit of self-reflection, a little bit of thought, and how, you know, how do I participate in the community? How do I do my little part to make it better?
I find that whenever I'm able to do that, I grow as a person, and I love self-reflection. I love any chance to be able to do that. Good on you, and good on anybody doing that out there. To what you're to the point you're talking about there, Lance, we've touched on this before about, you know, joining a board or something. Really do encourage people to do that. What I'm impressed by, because I don't disagree with anything you just said, the only thing I want to piggyback and add to it is I had a lot of the same fears and worries, and I've looked into this, and I've looked at some of the stats throughout the country, especially here in central Wisconsin, and we've got a lot of people in that young 20-year age starting to do some of these things. That generation does seem to get it. Like, I don't know about my generation, but I know that that generation seems to get it, seems to be doing some of these things. I get a little disappointed in my own generation sometimes.
You know, I think you hit that. You know, we're even seeing that somewhat with what I'd call financial responsibility.
Mm.
You know, we're seeing some of the youngest generation pick up on some of those things that maybe skipped a generation.
Yeah,
or two.
It seems like it.
And you know, that's one of the things that, you know, financial stability allows you to do some of those other things.
True,
very true. So, you know, it's one of those times, like I said, where, you know, pull yourself up by the bootstraps, ask for help if you need it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's one thing the county does. You know, one of the things we talk about all the time is if you don't have involvement with county government, you probably lived a pretty good life.
Yeah,
You know, because a lot of the service we render our support services.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and you might walk into the, you know, register deeds office, or, mm-hmm. you might stop in to the county clerk's office. But generally speaking, a lot of what we do in county government is to support people who've had difficulty in some area. And so, like I said, if you don't know what county government does, you're probably doing pretty good.
Yeah.
But there's 700 roughly employees out there, whether they be law enforcement, you know, mental health professionals, social service workers, mm-hmm. Veteran service officers. They're all out there to help people in the community.
If you'd like to find out more about your area and Wood County in general, I want to encourage you to, if you haven't done so already, bookmark the webpage woodcountywi.gov, woodcountywi.gov. It's a great website. They do a really good job with it. And it's where I go to sometimes look at some of the meetings you guys have had. And this morning there was a Health and Human Services Committee meeting. Were you a part of that, Lance?
I sat through part of that.
Okay.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
You know, the other part of that is we have a count. Trent will be upset with me for probably mentioning, but we have a county clerk who's one of the best county clerks in the state. In fact, he was just elected to be the president of the Wisconsin County Clerks Association.
Congratulations to him.
Which he would probably be mad that I mentioned, because the other day we moved to county board meeting and I prompted him and said, can you tell everybody why? And he said, well, we have a county clerks convention. And I said, and can you tell him why that's important? And we got to that point. But, you know, Trent and some of those other elected officials like him are really important. They're the people who get a lot of that information out, who post those notices, who get those done timely, who provide the information. You know, it's kind of the hub of what happens oftentimes.
Yeah.
So to your point, check the websites. Look what's going on out there. Be participatory.
With some of the recent meetings I'm seeing here, anything noteworthy you want to talk about coming out of those?
Well, you know, it sounds like a broken record. So, you know, we're in that budget period right now,
mm-hmm.
Where we're trying to drill down. The state budget is pretty close to done. There's a very large increase in the shared revenue. So to not get too far in the weeds, over time, the state used to pay about 80% of what they mandated counties do.
Mm-hmm.
And that funding went from 80% to about 17% mm-hmm. over many years.
Yeah.
And, you know, without a lot of consideration on how we're going to provide those services, mm-hmm. without the ability to pay for those services.
Mm-hmm.
So through some tremendous efforts, you know, both by the legislature in cooperation with the governor's office and everybody else, there's a new shared revenue package out there that's going to allocate 1 cent, basically, of the state sales tax to local units of government. And that's counties, you know, municipalities, villages, towns, all of those, which is going to make a huge difference going mm-hmm. forward. So budget's always there. If you drive by downtown, you're going to see the jail. Is going up pretty fast.
Mm-hmm.
I'm amazed every day when I see those panels going up and the size of that. You know, so that's one of the big projects. And then at this time of year, you know, parks are kind of a focus as people get out and recreate.
When it comes to our services, it's something that you and I have touched on before. And I, one of the things, especially coming out of the pandemic, that I was really proud of was, you know, how did everybody's garbage pickup going during that? Like, everybody's garbage picked up? Yeah, pretty cool. Pretty cool that our recycling garbage, we didn't miss a beat with any of that. And then for many of us who saw the story yesterday about Adams County getting rid of their garbage and recycling departments, for one, I think a lot of people were shocked that's even a possibility, that that could even happen. And I don't have a whole lot on this other than I hope we appreciate here in Wood County how much we have these services, because to lose them, I don't think many people would know what to do. I don't think many of us would have any idea of how to handle something like that. Hopefully it gives us some appreciation of these things that we have and why we put in our fund, our local funds.
Yeah, you know, we have some programs at the county level that I would love the opportunity to get in some of the schools, and actually I'd be more than happy to teach a class for a day or to meet with those students. But without going too far down that rabbit hole, you know, it's like you said, who picks up the garbage? Mm-hmm. Who's responsible for it? Where does it go after that? Who pays for it? What happens when, this is when I say go down, what happens when I flush a toilet or run the sink? Where does the water go? Who treats it? Who's responsible for it? Those simple everyday things that you do. When I drive down, you know, 8th Street might be an example. Well, 8th Street's also a state highway.
Mm-hmm.
Who maintains it? Who pays for it? You know, 8th Street's been in pretty tough shape in some places. It is a city street, but it's a state highway.
Yeah.
You know, and the state has, I think that was basically scheduled for improvement in 2028.
That's right.
That's a long ways away. Yeah, and, you know, it's tough driving down sometimes. So I was actually had personal conversations face-to-face with the Secretary of the Department of Transportation and said, you know, Secretary Thompson, we can't wait till 2028.
Yeah.
But again, who's responsible? So when you get off 8th Street and you go down, you know, turn off on Pepper or Airport or I'm going, you know, who's responsible for those streets? How does that get paid for? You know, is it sales tax, income tax, property tax? What's the funding mechanism? And frankly, most people don't know.
Yeah.
I get called all the time saying, you know, what are you going to do about some issue in the school district? Nothing.
Yeah.
I have no
control over that.
I have no control. I have no authority. I know some of those people, so I'll relay your thought.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, what are you doing about the town?
Yeah.
Or have you told the state? Well, it doesn't work that way.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's really imperative that we, you know, we educate those young people coming up. I don't think you can start too early. I don't think it hurts to start, you know, early grade school and then our reiteration in the junior high years and then again in high school.
And if I could add to that, Lance, in your 20s, too, because I part of the reason I heard about this story happening in Adams is because I had a listener reach out very angry at me that we did not cover it because, well, we're going to be losing our garbage and recycling here in Wisconsin Rapids and all this, and we're not covering it as a rapid station. And I'm like, oh, hold up. Like, that's Adams County. Like, they didn't even understand the difference of our counties. They just assumed that we're all one county kind of thing. Or why do we have these labels then? I don't know. But I didn't get into the whole conversation with the person. And this is a person who was at the very least in their late 20s, not understanding some of this stuff.
Well, there are jurisdictional boundaries. But, you know, the one thing I talk about is, you know, you could kind of, if you had a big dry board, you could kind of erase those boundaries. I mean, we're all part of a community. And so even it affects Adams County, but if it affects northern Adams County and Rome, and let's say it was a huge issue and you drove south on Highway 13 out of Wisconsin Rapids, all of a sudden you're Adams County and there's a disaster there, the general public doesn't know where the line is.
Mm-hmm.
Heck, sometimes I don't know exactly. I know where it is.
Yeah.
But sometimes I don't know exactly where the line is. And so there are jurisdictional boundaries where certain, you know, levels of government take care of certain issues. But we're all part of a community. So one of the things that we've been really lucky about, and I'm going to touch on, is the relationships that our county has with the city in particular. Obviously, that's a pretty big player.
Mm-hmm.
Or the towns has been pretty darn good, or the villages. You know, whether it's the mayor, specifically the Mayor Blazer in Rapids. I mean, Shannon, we get on the phone and talk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what do you think about this? Do you think it's a good idea? And oftentimes, before you ever get to the vote, the actual issue, it's been fairly well, it's certainly been discussed. It's probably been resolved.
Mm.
And we're probably moving down a road that benefits everybody because there's a symbiotic relationship.
Yeah.
If something doesn't look good in the city, it really doesn't matter if it's a city issue or a county issue. It reflects on everybody. Or vice versa. If it doesn't look good in the county, it can reflect poorly on the city.
Say you're somebody out there and you're listening to this and you're like, well, you know what? I should re-up on some of these things. I don't know a lot of this stuff. I would recommend the website. I would recommend the Wood County website to go there, and it answers a lot of questions for you. Is that what you would do around
here? Yeah, that's where I'd start. You know, if you're really interested, you know, there's a virtual option to every one of our committee meetings.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where the sausage gets made. You know, mm-hmm. everybody says, well, by the time you get to the board floor, everything's a 19-0, 18-1, 18, you know, 17-2 vote. Okay. Well, it is. That's because it's been hashed out over and over and over and over. And it's either going to go 17-2, 18-1, 19-0 in the positive or the negative. Mm-hmm. I mean, the information has already been disseminated. Minds have generally been made up. It's very rare that we have a 10-9 vote
yeah.
on something like that. So, yeah, start there.
I think that's a great idea. I've learned so much from not only watching those board meetings on the Wisconsin Rives Community Media webpage at YouTube. Be sure to subscribe to that. And just seeing some of that stuff. I'm a big action movie guy. I love anything with Bruce Willis, Bruce Lee, any of that stuff. I find it just as fascinating. I find it just as interesting. I'm glued into every one of these things that comes up because it involves where I live. It involves my community. That seems pretty action-packed to me. That seems pretty exciting to me. I encourage people to do that. Maybe you don't take every single one in, but check them out and see what they're talking about. See what the discussion is and how it applies to you and learning more about these things. Learning more about your community not only is informative and vital, I think, going forward here, it also feels really good. There's a lot of pride that comes from it.
Well, and if nothing else, you'll learn who to call.
Yeah.
You know, I made this comment real briefly. I'll touch on, you know, I have some people in our county government who are extremely bright, way younger than me, future leaders. And I said, you know, at some point, you guys are going to lead this community. Mm-hmm. And I said, and much more of my career is behind me than in front of me. And I made the comment, I said, that doesn't mean I'm leaving tomorrow. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, I said, you're going to be a better leader. And they said, well, but I don't know what you do. I said, that's just because of time. And the only thing that I have on you is I know who to call. Mm. And they might answer the phone.
Right.
But next year, when you call them, they'll answer the phone. And you'll still know more than I do. So it's, you know, so that changes. That's what I tell people. You know, get, if nothing else, get to know who represents you.
Lance, if people have follow-up questions, how can they reach you?
Well, my phone number is in the directory. So that's a really good way to do it. My email address is in there. And I think half the people in town know my number already because I get a lot of phone calls.
Always appreciate the time, Lance. Thank you.
Thanks, James. Always appreciate it.
And a big thank you to Taylor and our friends over at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Be sure to subscribe to their page on YouTube and follow along with everything they're doing. Appreciate you guys. We'll have more Midday Magazine coming up right here on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Locally grown, 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you. News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Walks, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know in central Wisconsin. The state is struggling with poor air quality, some more than others. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot has more details.
With the wind surging in out of the north yesterday, it caused some major U.S. cities to endure the poorest air quality in the world. Last night, the western burbs of Milwaukee hit an air quality index over 350 on a 500-point scale, with hazardous conditions for everyone.
McMillan Library will have limited services starting today through Saturday and possibly later. The South Central Library System is migrating its IT headquarters to a new building, and during the move, internet will be out at libraries across South Central Wisconsin. Visitors to McMillan Library will not have access to computers, printing, or copying, and there will be limited Wi-Fi and online services. You will need to have your library card with you to check out books. Services should return to normal by Monday at the latest. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Chance for isolated storms tonight, otherwise overcast. Lows dip down to about 63, winds out of the southeast, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Chance for isolated storms again tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 84. Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun. Chance for scattered thunderstorms tomorrow night. Lows dip down to about 61. Mainly clear skies. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 83.
Welcome back, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this June 28th, 2023. You have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. Thanks so much for joining us. Big thank you to our friends over at ODC for letting us borrow our friend Callie Johnson for a little bit. Callie, it's been a while. Good to see you.
Yeah, it's been a while, but thanks again for having me back.
Always good to see you and have you in studio. Thank you so much for all, not just putting up with me for 20 minutes, but hanging out and doing all the things you do in our community. We got a lot to talk about today.
We do.
Going to dive right into things. There is a cash calendar raffle going that went on. I wanted to touch about on that a little bit.
Yeah, of course. This was the first year we held a cash calendar raffle.
Yeah.
We wanted to kind of try something new, a different way to fundraise and raise awareness about ODC, and get our partners, businesses, employment partners involved. So we did it during the month of June. So we sold tickets in, let's see, February, March, April, and May. Each business sponsored a day in June. We did 22 days at different dollar amounts, so $50 all the way up to $500. They said, "Yeah, I'll put that money up for the winner." And we just went gangbusters selling tickets.
Yeah.
And it was just a really neat way. First of all, we have, gosh, I'm going to get the number wrong, but 150 maybe employees across our communities in ODC. And so it was a great way to get all of our employees engaged and board members engaged in selling tickets. And a lot of people realized it was an easier sell than they thought maybe it would be.
Yeah.
And because somebody, you could win out of it. So in the end, I think we ended up selling close to 2,500 tickets and raised over $15,000 for ODC.
Nice.
And in the month of June, this is our last week, but we've been at 11 a.m. sharp every day doing Facebook Live drawings for the winner.
Nice.
And a lot of the individuals who we support have helped us draw the winning tickets, and that's been really exciting. And we've really gotten a wide variety of people who have won, all ages, from different communities, because people, again, could take these and sell them to their friends, family, who maybe live wherever. So it's just been a really great way to, again, raise awareness, raise money, have fun. And I wanted to mention all of the businesses, if I can take a minute,
please,
that sponsored a square.
Absolutely.
On our raffle. Okay. So, of course, we had Milkweed Market and Ink Splash sponsor a square together. Better Built Homes and Remodeling, Lake Arrowhead, Cravings, Home Run Electric, the Central Wisconsin BMX, Bee's Tap House, Two Doors Down Brewing, Lake Air Supper Club, R&M Services, Taco John's, Prevail Bank, Lone Wolf Installations, Paper City Savings, Tri-City Golf Course and Ironwood Bar and Grill, Medell Oliveras Photography, Patrick Gall Retirement Wealth Services, A Country Life, MSC, Bliss Spa and Salon, Fuller Mechanical, and Solaris. So just wanted to make sure that we patronize and recognize those businesses who give back to our community in multiple ways. So
I'm a big supporter in going to and using businesses that put back into the community. And I think that we always love hearing about these sponsors, because I'm not the only one. A lot of us like doing that. And it's always nice to have a lot of familiar names there with the ODC, with other businesses, a lot of great businesses that continue to constantly put back into this community.
Right.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
I got to think, I was going to ask, but I think I already got our answer. Look, we're going to do this again next year.
We got to
do this again.
Absolutely.
It's a good one.
So we can do one calendar raffle in a year, because I was like, oh gosh, we should do this again towards the end of the year.
Yeah.
But we do have to do just one a year.
Yeah.
And yes, we can just continue to grow it.
That's cool.
Like I said, it was a new way to, for $10 to $25, get somebody to engage with ODC, ask about, whoa, what is this for? I can win some money out of it, but who is it supporting that I'm giving back to?
And this area loves raffles, raffles. So I mean, almost anything, any company, anything to do with a raffle, they're gonna immediately catch their eyes. And then when they see it's the ODC or one of our great nonprofits out there, like, oh, wait a minute, this is really encouraging. And just so I'm blown away by this community all the time, how they support these kind of things.
Yeah, agree. It's always, you never know what to expect, but then you're like, oh yeah, this is our community. Like, they love us, and truly care about the work that we're doing. Mm-hmm. So in the end, we're like, was it really a surprise that it was supported this well? Mm-hmm. But, you never know. Like,
you're nervous at first, you know? Right. We get nervous in business about these things, let alone if you're a nonprofit. And so much matters of when this... It's well and good to talk about these numbers, but it's different for you and the staff there. Those numbers, that could be the difference of this being able to do this project or being able to help this client. It's so vital. So I can imagine that tension going into it and the relief of coming out of it and seeing
Absolutely.
That. And speaking of great events that bring awareness to our ODC and bring funds to it, we have the 4th annual Run, Walk, and Roll coming up. I remember when this first started, I had just started doing this gig, and I'm just blown away by that fourth annual. That is really cool.
I know. It is. It's become a tradition. If you're not familiar with the event, we host it in August every year. We call it the Run, Walk, and Roll. We want it to be all-inclusive. It's any form of exercise that works for you. It's not your typical 5K or timed racing event. Those are great too, but we just wanted to do something a little differently to, again, like include everybody and make everyone feel inspired to participate. So this year, it's August 13th through the 19th. But again, we're very flexible. If you want to register now and do your walk or run, wear your t-shirt and raise awareness and support, you don't technically have to do it that week. Mm-hmm. But we do get together in 5 of our communities now on that Thursday of that week. So this year it's Thursday, August 17th. And we'll be in Wisconsin Rapids, Stevens Point, Marshfield, Wausau, and Merrill, since we've grown and expanded into that community. Where we do host 5 simultaneous in-person events where if you're not already running, walking, or rolling with your friends or family, you can come do it with us. And a lot of the individuals we support, we will post within our Facebook event the routes for those 5 communities as the date gets closer. But, it's just a great way to, again, engage with ODC and... Yeah. Get outside or do whatever form of exercise makes sense to you.
Especially in August when we're hanging on to every last nice day we have.
Yeah.
It's a great opportunity to get out there with that. And while you're out there and in the community, I notice this every year, years that I've been able to participate and years I haven't. Whenever you're seeing this going on, there's such a rush of good feeling with it. There's such a good vibe that it creates. And not just with the runners, but I think with people that are seeing the event going on, people that make a note like next year I'm doing that, like that it really is an event that like creates more members where they see this going on, they want to be a part of it, or they're so happy to be a part of it. Maybe they've looked at it in years past, they're finally doing it this year and realizing, oh, this is a really cool, fun a community event to be a part of,
right?
And all that along with that, we get to come back at the end of the time of this event and look at it and say, wow, we did all this, had a good time, and we were able to help the ODC. We were able to put funds and help them do the vital work that they're doing.
Right.
That's such a cool combination.
Yeah, the event, we are still seeking sponsors for. You can get your name on the back of the t-shirt if you're a business that can support a higher dollar amount and you get some sort of advertising, out of that. Otherwise, sponsorships from $100 to $1,000 can get you different things in return. But if you're the everyday person that's like, I just want to participate, you can do that for $35. You get a t-shirt out of it. If you form a team of 5 or more people, you get a reduced price of $25 a person. So grab, a couple friends or family members. And again, that covers your t-shirt as well, which of course are produced by Ink Splash at ODC.
Amazing t-shirts, Callie. Not to nitpick, but amazing t-shirts.
Yeah.
You're underselling the t-shirts.
Okay.
They're awesome.
They're always designed really cool. Yeah. And again, it's a win-win because you're supporting ODC. You're
Absolutely.
Also supporting Ink Splash, which is our apparel printing business that we own and operate within the walls of ODC. So again, and if you if you really have a kind heart and you're not going to participate, but you'd like to get involved, we do have a donate your registration option. So a person who we support at ODC who might not be able to afford it on their own, you can donate your registration for them, and then they can get their T-shirt and participate. And again, a shout out to a lot of the sponsors that we've received already. Some of them take half their shirts and the other they say donate. Some say just donate them all back to the individuals who you support there. And we all wear these T-shirts year round. We wear them over and over. They wash really well. They are great shirts. And so it's just another way to kind of walk around with your message on your shirt.
Well, and I'm glad you brought that up too, because I know our area. I know a lot of these businesses and the people that run them, and they're all great people that love to put back into their community. Dollars and cents, they don't really worry about. They want to be a part of these events. They want to support these events and show that they support these events. But to any business out there that is looking at the dollars and cents of this, and I understand that that's, you know, the world we live in. That's business. You got to keep the lights on. I can tell you that right away, that $100 in advertising does not get you very far nowadays. But to be able to be on just taking the back of the T-shirt, like you said, Callie, people are wearing that year round. Year round, your business is being advertised. Year round, people are seeing your business connected to the ODC, a nonprofit that everybody loves. The PR that comes from this is not just from the event itself, but it's years down the line. These shirts last. People are wearing them not just the year of the event. You are constantly having people seeing your logo, seeing your company over and over again. For $100, I'll take that. Yeah. I'll take that every day. And I get to know that I'm putting back into the community. I'm going to keep coming back to this. This is an investment. You're a part of these things. You're not just throwing your name on there. You're a part of it. That is a pretty cool opportunity that we offer with the that the ODC offers all the time. And I have to stop doing the sports team thing of saying we. I can't help myself. I love you guys.
You're
I can't help
us.
It. I'm no journalistic integrity when it comes to the ODC. I just love what you guys do over there. Again, this event, the fourth annual Run, Walk, and Roll coming up August 13th through the 19th. And as you said, Callie, people can register right now if they want.
Yes. So we have a Facebook event on our ODC page. Excuse me, which has links to the forms that you can fill out. You can stop into ODC and get the forms, paper copies, and just get in touch with us one of those ways. Call the office. We can get it to you. And just please sign up. If you're not going to sign up, share the event.
Yeah.
A little bit like that can go a long way in just spreading our message that we're doing this again. And again, it's not just in Wisconsin Rapids. It's Stevens Point, Marshfield, Wausau, Merrill, anywhere. You can be across the country and register. We can ship you your T-shirt, and you can run, walk, and roll with yourself or anybody you want.
Yeah, it's... I did it during the pandemic. I did this with my fur brother, my dog and I, Sam. We did it together. Yeah,
we see a lot of pictures on social. People share that they did it with that, and that's kind of how this event originated. We wanted to still connect to our communities when we couldn't, you know, when we were social distancing and not really getting together. So we're like, let's do something in the summertime. People, if they're comfortable, can get together with their own little groups, and now people use it as an excuse. We all get so busy that they use it as an excuse to get together.
So cool.
They support us at the same time. So
it's great. Yeah, it's very cool. Another cool thing that we got to talk about, actually, the last time the ODC joined us, I think it was the first opportunity for us to talk about it, the opportunity for hope. This is a really cool thing. I want to let you go ahead and have the floor for this.
Yeah. So Opportunity for Hope is our outpatient mental health clinic. It opened last year, and we've been supporting people. It's right within our ODC on Huntington Avenue in Wisconsin Rapids. And we've been supporting folks who have mental health challenges. Again, this isn't just for the clients who we already support or people with disabilities who come to ODC. This is a community resource. This is a clinic that anybody can get services from. So Opportunity for Hope now also has a satellite clinic in Stevens Point. We will be doing our ribbon cutting and open house on July 21st from 10 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. It is part of the Inclusive Not-for-Profit Center in Stevens Point. So it's the former Delta Dental building on Hoover. And there are several not-for-profit tenants that all are housed within that building. And it's a really neat concept. It's like, why haven't we done this all along with not-for-profits being able to all be housed in the same place? To be able to share ideas and share resources with each other. So I believe they'll be having a separate ribbon cutting for that Delta Dental, former Delta Dental building. But again, our App for Hope satellite outpatient mental health clinic open house is on July 21st. And we're really excited to be able to support even more folks who need our support in that community.
It's such a wonderful and important opportunity to be able to offer to communities, to be able to offer this. And while we appreciate the work you do with your clients and so much when it comes to the ODC, as if you didn't have enough on your plate, you go ahead and open it up to the whole community with something like this, which it just makes us more love what you guys do over there and appreciate what you're doing over there, too. We've, I think, done a pretty good job in the last handful of years as a society to talk about mental health. That's great. And we've come a long way with that. Many of us that have known about and talked about mental health our whole lives, we're like, yes, finally, we're here. We're getting here. Now it's time to put action to words, though. Now it's time for us to be able to do these things. And the ODC is ahead of the curve like they are in a lot of things when it comes to this. These, whether it's the satellite place or this place here in Rapids, having these for our communities to be able to be open for them and just any old community member that needs that, they have it. I encourage people to use these facilities, to use these it's hard to judge ourselves. We tend to be our harshest critic. We tend to be pretty, it's an interesting thing, dance we do in our brains. We tend to be our harshest critic, and a lot of us from the Midwest especially tend to also be the type of, oh, I'll walk it off. Whatever it is, a broken leg or a mental thing, you know, what we might have, I'll be fine. I can walk this off. You do that enough, and you might be right sometimes, but you keep doing that, and you keep doing that. And trust me, I am here to tell you, that stuff catches up. It's good to take care of these things in the moment. It's good to take care of this. And nowadays, we have facilities like this. We have opportunities to be able to go somewhere, talk to somebody, maybe figure out a little bit of what's going on in that brain. I always look at it as it's your opportunity to pull your brain out and take a look at it and look at it like a roadmap a bit and figure things out a little bit more. Every human being in the universe needs this from time to time. You are not alone in this, and I think it is one of the strongest, bravest things you can do as a human being to look inward, to face this stuff.
You said it better than I could have. And it's for everybody. We encourage you to give us a call, at least to inquire what is this about, what kind of services do you provide. You'll talk to licensed therapists. It can be a simple, sweet conversation. It can be a visit, whatever is most comfortable to the person. But you're right. We're hopefully getting past the point of like a stigma around it. Let's remove that out of the equation. We know it's just like a broken arm, a broken brain, whatever it is. Let's talk about it. And we're happy to be providing that as a resource in our communities.
We're speaking with Callie Johnson from the ODC, and love talking about these events when they combine some of our favorite places. Let's talk about the Exploring the Arts exhibit over at McMillan Library, one of our favorite spots.
Yes. So we were awarded a grant through WISPAC to provide, and it provided us funds for individuals with disabilities in all of our locations to explore and experience various types of art forms. So we've partnered with the library, we've partnered with museums, we've partnered with the cultural centers in our communities, music studios, every way you can interpret the word art, we've explored those options. And it's really been a great resource for our clients who want to take a class in pottery or whatever it might be, learning how to play drums, and they've really wanted to do it but haven't been able to make it happen for themselves. This this funding that we were provided through the grant allowed us to provide that for the individuals we support. And so now we're ready to showcase all of the projects that we did. And that will be at Macmillan Library July 7th through the 20th. It's like an exhibition that they'll have set up in their all-purpose room. And the opening reception will be on July 7th from 10 to 2. So we really encourage everybody to pop into the library, you know, walk through the exhibit, tell us what you think, join us for the reception. Again, just another really unique, fun way to get involved.
Giving this opportunity to the clients is just beautiful to me. There's not many other words I can think of than other than beautiful for that. That is great. I'm so happy and thankful to the state and everybody a part of that grant. That was really nicely done. Now it's our opportunity to enjoy this art, to take it in and really not only get some great art, and I love looking at art, so that's cool to me, but I also get to do that along with supporting you all and supporting these clients. And I encourage people, you touched on it really, I'm really glad you said this earlier, Callie. If you can't take in the event, if you can't take the run, walk, and roll event in, all of us can promote these things. All of us, most all of us have social media. You follow the ODC and you just, you know, share those stories. You share these things on your pages. When you're in conversations with people, hey, did you know that this is going on? Absolutely. Every one of us can do that. And that is just as helpful as many other things that you can do.
Right. And a little bit goes a long way. Like you think you hit share one time and maybe one person sees it. That's because you only get one like. That's not how it works. Mm-hmm. It really does spread the message. And for this event in particular, those individuals who created this art will be there on and off. And they really pick up on and notice when others enjoy the things that they make and are proud of. So you're really boosting somebody's self-confidence when you take the time, 5 minutes, 10 minutes of your day to walk through and just appreciate what somebody has tried to accomplish.
There's not many better feelings than making somebody else feel more confident. It's such a good feeling, and I encourage you to be a part of this. Again, that's going on July 7th through the 20th over at Macmillan Library. Check that out. Opening reception on July 7th from 10 to 2. As we're wrapping up here with our last couple of minutes, Callie, wanted to touch on Milkweed Market first. Make sure that I have to. It's in my contract. I have to bring them up. I love that place.
Yes, Milkweed Market. Who doesn't love Milkweed Market? Like, what is there not to love? But tomorrow is another Painting with Purpose class. Please check it out on Facebook because I'm not remembering what the project is for tomorrow.
It is Painting with a Purpose, Chubby's Asian Fusion Cuisine Pop-Up Food Event. That's a different thing. Okay. Yeah. All right. Sorry.
Yeah. No. It's all good. The Paint with Purpose happens once a month at Milkweed Market, and every month there's a new guest artist that comes in with a new project. And again, what we're trying to accomplish there is the folks who we support, of course, come and participate, but we'd love community members to drop in and participate in these projects too. There's no cost, and it really just gives people with disabilities a chance to interact with all of our community members in a new way. So please stop in and, of course, follow Milkweed Market on Facebook so you know what the Painting with Purpose and Create with Purpose classes are. But the Asian food or the Asian Fusion Cuisine food event is on July 19th. And so, again, another day where you can come in and support Milkweed but also get some yummy, delicious food out of it.
And any chance you get to shop at Milkweed, encourage you to do that. You're putting back into the community, putting back into the ODC and helping them do that great work, along with getting some awesome stuff. Nothing but great things over there at Milkweed Market. Go check it out. Did want to mention, before we let you go, Callie, that the ODC is going to be closed for a day coming up here for our holiday.
Absolutely. Yep. We will be open Monday, July 3rd, but closed on the 4th, Tuesday the 4th, in observance of Independence Day.
Same here. We're doing the same thing.
Most places probably are. So
we'll have to stop by and hang out with you guys. Maybe we'll all hang out, do something together. It's been fun. Callie, please say hi to everybody over there for us. Keep up the great work. Thank them for us, and we appreciate you.
Yeah, thank you so much, James.
We'll have more Midday Magazine for you tomorrow right here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
Here's what's happening. WFHR Community Calendar is brought to you by Something Sweet, Swiftwater Ice Cream. Enjoy the guilt-free, no-fat, no-sugar scooped ice cream and the 32 flavors of Cedar Crest. And don't forget their made-to-order appetizers. It'll leave your taste buds dancing. Family-owned and operated and open daily from noon until 9 p.m. Swiftwater Ice Cream in Nakusa, or find them on Facebook.
Lake Sherwood's 4th of July celebration will be taking place Saturday, July 1st from 10 a.m. to 11 p.m. Events include a craft fair, kids games, beanbag tournament, the Shermalot ski team performance at 6:30 p.m. and fireworks at dusk. Raffle tickets will also be available, with some of the giveaways including a 65-inch TV, an 8-inch tablet, and a Blackstone gas combo grill. The Wisconsin Rapids Moravian Church invites you to a brat fry on Tuesday, July 4th from 3:30 to 8 p.m. Brats, hamburgers, chips, popcorn, and baked goods will all be available for purchase. Come get refreshments before the start of the fireworks.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM.